Welcome to the Homesteading for the Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Amy Fuel. I'm the founder of Homesteaders of America, a published author, YouTuber, homesteader, homeschooling mama, herbalist, and more. Homesteading isn't just merely a trend. It's a movement of God within the earth. From the times of Adam and Eve and even Joseph to the modern day church, farming and homesteading has been a lifestyle that God has called his people back to continuously. It isn't just a modern way to live, it's a biblical way to live. In every single Homesteading for the Kingdom episode, we talk about homesteading, Jesus, this way of life, education, the Bible, and how kingdom work is powerful in this movement in every way. Homesteading is preparing the remnant for what's to come, and we're here for it. Welcome to the podcast. All right, guys, it has been a minute, and you guys who are joining me again are seeing a name change. This podcast used to be called the Choosing Simple Podcast, and now it's called the Homesteading for the Kingdom Podcast. And in this episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk a little bit about some current events today, and then we will start moving into, in the next episodes, we're going to start breaking open the Bible, unpackaging a lot of theology, talking about the homesteading movement and how that is interwoven into all kinds of things, okay, when it comes to God and Jesus and end times. And so welcome to the podcast. I really felt like we needed to do a name change because when I started the Choosing Simple podcast, we actually lived in a different house. I had to learn how to choose simple, the simple way of living. And now my life is simple. I know how to choose the simple things, but things are maybe a little bit more complicated than they used to be, a little bit more in your face, right? Like 10 years ago, we could live this way of life. Nobody was bothering us. We were not even on the radar. This was just the life we felt called to. But now, post-COVID, post all of these crazy things that have happened over the last few years, and moving into what God has been showing us for the last 3 or 4 years, things are amping up in the kingdom, and things are amping up in the homesteading world too. And so, in fact, today, we are going to talk about today's current event at the time of this recording. This is coming out a little bit afterwards. But so all of that to say, this is why we did the name change, Homesteading for the Kingdom. I'm hoping to have some more people on here to do some interviews, some people that I really couldn't have on with my other podcast called Choosing Simple because it didn't make sense to have them on with that name. So we're going to do a whole bunch of new things. We're going to talk about current events. We're going to talk about how homesteading is really interwoven into what is happening in the world. We're going to talk about censorship and how we are starting to see censorship in the homesteading world. We're going to talk about homesteader frauds. We're going to talk about imposters and how to watch out for them. I mean, we've just got all kinds of stuff. When I say we, I talk about me and my husband, and I talk about our friends and all kinds of people, okay? So I'm just really excited about the Homesteading for the Kingdom podcast. Now, you can find me online. You can watch it on YouTube. You can watch it on the podcast. I have a Substack that is also called Homesteading for the Kingdom, where we have some stuff on there that we're going to talk about. In fact, episode 2, I'm actually going to be reading a blog post from that Substack because I know a lot of you don't like to read. You like to listen. And so I'm excited about that. But let's get into today, okay? Because I want to talk about the meat and potatoes of this podcast, the true purpose behind what we do. And I hope that it will encourage you and inspire you, but also give you some insight into what our ministry is with our own personal farm, our own personal ministry that we do, our Bible studies, and then our Homesteaders of America ministry. So I'm going to try to keep this under an hour today, okay? So let me get started with today's current event. Today, at the creation of this podcast, the recording of this podcast, there is a major AT&T power outage or service outage, whatever you want to call it. Thousands upon thousands of people are getting the SOS on their phone, cell phones, saying they have no service. They don't have access to service. In fact, I didn't even realize it because we don't have good service here at our house anyhow. And so my husband called me from town on my son's cell phone because his is not the same service, and said, "Hey, you don't have service. Just stay home today." Because I was actually gonna go out today. And so I heeded to his wisdom. I submitted to that wisdom, and I was like, "You know what? Okay, I don't have to go anywhere. I'm gonna stay home." And so it got me started on thinking about the times that we're living in. And, you know, if you're in the homesteading world, this is no surprise to you. We've been saying this, screaming it, shouting it from the rooftops for decades, that the structures in our American system, I'm specifically talking about America, okay, but just in every system, in every government, in every world, is very, very non-beneficial in terms of, you know, being safe. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I think it was, I have a friend, actually, I have a few friends that are connected to the government and military, security, and a lot of things. And a couple of them sent me broadcasts that the government had sent out to certain groups of people stating that over the next few weeks and the next few months, we were going to see an uptick in cyber issues and security issues. And specifically, it was going to be for cell phones, waterways, and the electrical grid. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about our electrical grid, okay? So you guys may not know this, but I am, you know, we pay attention to stuff that's going on. And so maybe 8 or so years ago, our local electrical company started switching meters over to smart meters, okay? Now, these meters require a connection to the power line out wherever your localest power line is from your house. And it causes it so that your power company agent doesn't have to actually come on your property to get a reading anymore. They don't actually have to come to your meter and look at your meter. They don't have to do that anymore. They can just get a reading from the outside of your house, or they can get a reading from the road. Or they don't even have to come here. In fact, I get my phone and I'm looking at my phone and I can actually look at my electrical bill, and my electrical bill is telling me where all my electricity is being used from. Well, how does it know that? You know what I mean? Like, how does it know that this is the kind of electric that I'm using? How does it know that my refrigerator is running all day long? How does it know that my internet modem is taking this much electricity, right? How does it know those things? Well, and it's coming from the smart meter. It's coming from this meter that is, you know, electronically smart, has a computer and is recording all of this information as to what are you using during the day? What stuff is staying on that's causing your electric bill to go up? There's a lot of different things it's doing. And so we've started keeping track of that, and we held out on a smart meter as long as we could. But things started happening to our meter when we moved, to the point of we had to let them on our property to change our meter out. And it was really a bittersweet day because we felt like we were the only people in the area who didn't have a smart meter anymore. And suddenly my opinion is that they cut the power to our house and they told us, "Well, it's your meter. Your meter's gone bad." And they replaced it with a smart meter. So I just find it really interesting that we think that these things are, that they said they switched it over because it was easier, it was cheaper, and it was more EMP proof. I say that in quotes, but the reality is that we've been focused on this EMP proof stuff, but these things might be EMP proof, which don't believe that for a minute. But they are not cyber proof. They are not cyber attack proof in the least bit. They are highly susceptible to cyber attacks. And so, and I want to talk to you a bit about that. And you guys might not know this, and a lot of people have forgotten, but our electrical grid actually was attacked just last year. I think it was in 2023. In fact, it's been in 2024 too. I know Texas had some electrical grid downs last summer. It was so hot that, certain counties were shutting down their electrical grids because of the heat. But there were actually legitimate electrical grid attacks. So it was actually in May of 2023. I'm going to pull up a, or maybe it was in February 2023. Sorry. I'm pulling up an article online while I'm doing this. So it was in Moore County, North Carolina. And it says, as of February 3rd, it's been 2 months since someone opened fire on two Duke Energy Power substations in Moore County, leaving thousands of people in the dark. And so I guess it was maybe the beginning of 2023 that happened. And so this started happening in North Carolina. I'll let you guys go find the news reports. Started happening in North Carolina. And then it happened in Washington State. It happened in, I believe it was Texas or Arizona, one of those out west states. It started happening in a couple of states. These were not just rednecks shooting up a substation, okay? This was someone who was skilled to know where to shoot a substation to make the entire thing crippled so that thousands of people were without power, and it was going to take tens of thousands of dollars to get this substation working again. The question is, why did they do it? Why were they doing these things? Okay. And so I don't know that anyone actually has that answer yet, and nor will we, but we do know that these were hand-to-hand battle. These were not cyber attacks. This was a physical attack of a large substation in multiple states being blown up. It was not a transformer blowing. This was somebody blew up. They shot it with a high-powered weapon and blew up parts of the substation, okay? And so this happened throughout different states during that year, over like a six-month time period. And so our electrical grid isn't just fragile in the form of cyber, it's fragile in the form of physical as well. And so when you go and you ask people who kind of know the experience in this, a lot of them will tell you that this is what, you know, America would do in another country when they're testing out things, right? They're trying to test the waters. What's the response time of your local authorities? What is the general public and community going to do? How is their reaction? What is the time it takes for them to order the new parts and get the substation back up and running? This was a test. This wasn't just people were traveling around the world and trying to do this for fun and games. This was strategic, and it was to collect data and information about a community, about a county, about a state. And no one is talking about this because no one wants to talk about it. And then for the people who do talk about it, we're crazy, right? And homesteaders are normally the ones talking about it because we are the people who have seen it. We've been in it. I'm going to tell you right now, the homesteading community is full, in fact, overflowing with men and women who are highly trained in government contracting and military and, you know, certain three-letter agency words because they've seen what is coming. They've seen what can happen. They've experienced it. They've been involved in it. And they don't want to live that way. They want to make sure that their family is taken care of, okay? So we have those connections. We know those people. And we've had to be very discerning in that, okay? Because we have also had people who look like they are part of us, right? I'm not talking about like y'all friends who listen to this. I know some of my male friends that are listening to this. I'm going to get a message on my private messaging app and they're going to say, are you talking about me? Or is it me that you don't trust? I'm not talking about you guys. If I hire you, and if you are my friend, and if we have a relationship that is good, I'm not talking about you. This is not in a passive aggressive way. Okay. We've actually had our organization infiltrated or tried to be infiltrated by a group of unknown imposters. And so when it was a very interesting experience, and I'm sure we've had it happen even without us knowing, we were able to catch this group. They were actually a group of volunteers that suddenly we realized they don't have the information that we should have about them. We have since upped our security big time. This was years ago. And these were people probing our organization, our homesteading organization, to see how far they could get. And they got Pretty far before our newly hired then security team caught it. But we still don't know who they were, and nor do we really even care at this point. But you know, we have experienced this firsthand, okay? Homesteading and farming is a threat to oligarchy and tyranny and any kind of government or organization that wants to have full power and control. I did not know the significance of what was going to happen when we started Homesteaders of America. We call it HOA. I started it because I was homesteading. God had put that desire into my heart to homestead. God had put the desire into my heart for my family to see healing through a diet change, to see healing through just a lifestyle change, and to rely more fully on Him. And that's in my experience, and our belief is that homesteading is relying fully on Him, okay, for our needs. And so it was just really interesting to go from, oh, homesteading is great, we're gonna start this organization to support other homesteaders, to, oh my goodness, Lord, you have thrown us into all out battle against the principalities of this country, and we are like serious warfare over here constantly. There's constantly something that's happening, right? And I don't say that to glorify the devil, because we do not do that. We glorify the Lord because we have so many testimonies, so many God moments that have come through. Let me share one with you, in fact. This past year, the 2023 conference, so we helped some friends put on a tent meeting back in August of 2023. We had Mike Signorelli and some other awesome, amazing pastors come and do a weekend-long event. And so we had found a new tent company. We used them for that event. The reason we wanted a new tent company was because the old tent company didn't quite have the sizing of tents that we needed. And so we found a new one. We worked with them for that event. They were wonderful. However, a couple thousand people at a revival event versus 6,000 plus people at a homestead event that is very, very busy, is a totally different thing. And so we had multiple tents that we ran in from this new company. We had thought that we really were very clear on the schedule we needed. In fact, we went back and realized, yes, we were very clear, but this new tent company decided they didn't want to do the job. They didn't want to do it the way we wanted them to do it. They didn't want to do it to our standards, which were not very high. And this company was very used to just doing weddings and fun little events, where they got to make things pretty. And, you know, at a homesteading event, you don't really care about making things pretty. I mean, well, at our homesteading event, we don't care. We want it to be nice, but it doesn't need to be fancy. So we hired this company. The guy shows up. He's like, your tents are not going to be up in time for permit inspection and for you to actually be under them for the event. And I'm just like, this is 3 days before our event, okay? 6,000 people are about to just consume this fairground after waiting for a whole year, and tickets have been sold out for a year, right? And I looked at him and I said, if you can't get it done, then I'm gonna have to. If you can't get it done in the time frame I need you to have it done in time for inspection, then I'm gonna have to find someone else. And he's like, well, good luck doing that. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, Jane, my right hand girl, I'm like, Jane, go call this other tent company. So we went back to the tent company we had had. Basically, they called us back and told us that it was as if somebody had just set aside every tent that we needed. Everything that we needed was set aside and spoken for by us if we wanted it. And you know, I don't think people understand how unheard of that is in October during one of the busiest months of the year for weddings and for fall festivals, because normally we have to book those tents a year in advance almost, to make sure that we can even get tents for that weekend. And she basically said it's unbelievable. Every single tent size that you need is set aside, and we have it for you, and we can put it up this weekend for you in order to have it done in time for inspection. Now, of course, it wasn't that easy, right? Like the other tent company held on to my money for forever. I couldn't get this tent company a deposit. They did this all in good faith. I mean, but it was the Lord. So there are incredible things within this homesteading organization that have been total God things. Like that is unheard of. Like I don't think people understand. We would have been tentless during our event. Because in a normal circumstance, nobody would have had tents. I called other tent companies just to make sure, and they did not have tents. And so, you know, it's just pretty incredible to see God at work in every way. And so we know that he has his hands on this movement and on this organization. And of course, we've been thrown into some pretty crazy situations, but we are learning very quickly that, you know, leaning on God for this, leaning on Holy Spirit's direction, and being discerning on who's in our circle. We have multiple circles. I got funny enough, a guy taught us this, a friend of ours taught us this years ago, and he is in the special. He was working as a contractor with the government, and he's like, I have my circle. I have my outer circle, and then I have my inner circle, and then I have my inner circle. And when we first met him, he told us that. And I'm like, I'm guessing we're not in your inner circle yet. And he's like, no, you're in the outer circle. and now I feel like even though he might not admit it, we're pretty much in his inner circle. But I always joke about that because it's true. It's a really good standard to go by. You can have circles of friends. You can have circles of acquaintances. Not everyone needs to know what's going on your farm. Not everyone needs to know what's going on in your business. Not everyone needs to know what your plans are. Not everyone needs to know what God has told you. Not everyone needs to know what you know, okay? And I'm just going to lay that out here because as we start seeing things unfold in our country and in this world over the next year, over the next 5 years, and over the next 10 years, you're going to understand that phrase way, way more, okay? For those of us who are very involved in prophetic gifting, we know that the Lord speaks in mysteries. He gives us visions and dreams that are, they're very mystery-like. You have to search his heart for the interpretation sometimes. And there's a reason for that, okay? God speaks in mysteries because the enemy doesn't understand it. We have the Holy Spirit so that we can understand it. But if we go blurting it out all the time, certainly there's messages that we should blurt out. There's messages from the Lord that we should give. But there are also messages from the Lord where he is equipping people. He is equipping leaders of households. He is equipping families, business owners, organization leaders, government people. Looking at some of you people, government people that join us for our conference, to speak to you and to hold what he's speaking to you close because it's all part of the plan that you need to know about, but the enemy doesn't need to know about. Okay. And so, we especially have had to be discerning in who comes into our friends group and who comes into our lives, because most of the time, a lot of people are just acquaintances. They want to know us because of who we are. They want to learn from us because of what we know and being leaders of a homesteading industry. And that's fine. We're okay with that. But then there are those people who are just simply the enemy's imposters. Okay. They look like it. They look like they belong in our group. They talk like they belong in our group. They do not belong in our group. And so, you know, the Bible talks about Satan being an angel of light, right? Coming as an angel of light. It's not the very blatant and obvious stuff that you have to be careful with, although you do. It's the subtle things. It's the things that look like you and talk like you and act like God and talk like God that you really have to be discerning with, okay? And so I want you to just think about that. Add that to your prayer life. Lord, give me the gift of discernment. Fine-tune my gift of discernment. You know, one of the things, as we talk about spiritual gifts and stuff, we will get into that over the next few episodes. But one of the things that I used to tell myself was that I didn't have the gift of discernment. And I always leaned on my husband because he has a very strong gift of discernment. But what I realized is that I thought that my gift of discernment was really just being judgmental, because for my whole life, literally, My whole life, since I was a child, I have been told that I'm very blunt and very honest and very rude. Like, it's very rude. And I didn't always feel like that. I always felt like, okay, I'm honest and I'm blunt, but I'm not being rude. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just calling a spade a spade. And I realized that that was a lie from the devil from childhood, that I did not have the gift of discernment. Because I thought that I was a judgmental person. Now, I was in some ways, and thankfully the Lord has delivered me from that. But, you know, I realized one day recently, you know, in the last year, there was someone sitting on my sofa and in my house, and she said something to me, and immediately my spiritual radar went off, and I thought, to myself, my spirit was saying, this is not right. Don't say anything else. Just act like, you're listening and you're interested, but something is not right here. And let me just tell you, my discernment was spot on. And in the moment when she was talking about wanting to impart spiritual gifts to me, but in a really weird way. And in fact, I remember sitting there going, I was confused. And that's when I just felt the Holy Spirit say, you do have the gift of discernment. You just don't believe that you have the gift of discernment. And for your whole life, you've been told that you're judgmental and not discerning. And that was my aha moment. Now, I wish I would have learned way sooner than that, because that whole train wreck, like, that was a train wreck after that. But I just thought I would throw that out there, because a lot of people don't believe they're very discerning, when really there's two issues. One, you think you're judgmental, but really you're discerning. And two, you're a hyper grace extender. because a lot of people, if you look like a duck and you quack like a duck, and you got all the duck qualities, then you think they're a duck, but they're not. And then they'll mess up and mess up and mess up, and they'll give you little clues, and you'll be discerning on this person, but you're like, grace, 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 grace. No, 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 no. We have got to start listening to discernment and stop just pacifying the hyper grace, okay? Grace is for a time. Grace is for a moment. Grace is when somebody falls and you show them the grace of Jesus and help pick them back up and get them back on the right track. Grace is when somebody slips up and God says, give them another chance, right? Grace is when somebody slaps you across the face and you give them the other cheek, right? But grace is not God showing you time and time again that there is something wrong in this situation and you just keep saying, okay, well, Jesus still loves them. That's not grace. That is being unwise. My dad taught me a long time ago, but especially recently he's brought back up, that the first spiritual gift is wisdom. And that has really stuck with me for a long time. And he told me for my whole life, you have the gift of wisdom. You are very wise. You're wise beyond your years. And it's because you are so honest. You are so upfront. You are so blunt. And you expect that from people. And that gift of wisdom just, it's been cultivated in you naturally. And so obviously I also still make very unwise decisions. And that's a learning process. Okay. But all of this to say, the Lord is really cultivating sub communities within the homesteading community. And I want to stress to you, as you see the AT&T blackout, as you see power blackouts, as you see internet blackouts, as you see government rumblings, as you see, you know, we're in election year, it's going to get crazy. Things really starting to happening. But when you also see rumblings in the homesteading community, which has happened, just last year, I had somebody who I called a friend, thought was a friend, run me through the ringer for no reason, total complete lies about everything. And the Lord just said, sit back, take your hands off of it. You know, you don't argue with a fool in public because you become a fool. And I was like, okay, but it was hard. And so the Lord is sifting through people, okay? The Lord is sifting through the homesteading community, okay? If you are a Christian, now I'm speaking to you Christians, okay? If you are a Christian and you are following other influencers in the homesteading world and you're starting to get a little radar go off, like, this doesn't sound, no, what? I don't. You pay attention to that. That's discernment. I was just talking to a friend and an HOA team member today about this. Just because it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck doesn't mean it's a duck. And just because it looks like a Christian and it talks like a Christian doesn't mean that they have discernment and wisdom and an ungreedy heart, okay? It doesn't mean that they aren't dressed up as a wolf in sheep's clothing. If someone is preaching Christ to you and they're cussing nonstop, they are not in the least bit preaching Christ to you. They are preaching a Jesus that they think they have known, but it's really just an idol in their own mind. It's not Jesus at all. Okay. If you see influencers that are starting to act holier than thou and not in a Christian way, they're kind of being very possessive over homesteading. And they're trying to, you know, be like, I'm the only one who knows what I'm talking about. I'm the only one who's, you know, I'm the only one who's been here for you. Or I'm the only one who's ever shared content with you. I'm the OG, you know. Really start thinking about those things, because we're over the next couple years, we're going to see the homesteading community be sifted out, especially the Christian homesteading community, okay? Because God is using this movement to raise up a generation that is of like-mindedness with him. They are the generation who knows that you cannot depend on any government except the government that God institutes. They are the generation that is kingdom-minded, not earthly-minded. They are a generation who is okay with throwing off a corrupt government and taking on the mantle of Joseph, taking on the encouragement and inspiration and gifting of the Holy Spirit. Okay. And so that means that just like the church and homesteading are going hand in hand. The church and homesteading are very, very similar right now because they are of the same movement. It's feed the people, shepherd the people, and take care of the remnant is essentially what's happening. So I say all of that to say that I want you to be careful, be discerning, understand that your friends groups, your community group, your broader spectrum online influence is about to go through a threshing. If it has not already started going through a threshing, pay attention to what God is saying. There might be people that need to get out of your life. There might be friends that are not of like mind anymore. That doesn't mean that you can't have friends that are different. That's not what I'm saying, y'all. Don't take the road of, well, in order to grow, you have to have people that are different than you. I get that. I fully appreciate that mindset. However, when you're building a community, iron sharpens iron, and you have to have some like-mindedness, okay? And next, you know, don't be afraid of what's coming. God has given us not a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. A sound mind is so essential right now. And don't forget, that's why we got into homesteading to begin with. We started homesteading to have a sound mind. Our food is taken care of. Our finances are more closer to home now. We can support our local community more. If we can't grow it, somebody else is growing it. We have cultivated a community here of people that are right around us that have become our friends. And that's another thing. God is moving people. God is physically picking up people and moving them to locations to build these communities of small people, of friends, to support each other. And not just to support each other, but to support the people that are going to come to them that need support, okay? And we're going to get into that another day. But that leads me into the segue of talking about the Homestead Revival Service that we're going to have at HOA on Friday night this year, okay? Now, if you have not gotten a ticket for HOA, you can still come to the Friday night revival service that we are having in October. Just go to homesteadrevival.com and you can find all of the information on the time and place there. You don't need a ticket. It's a free event. It's an extension of HOA, but it's through our homesteading our homestead revival organization that we recently started last year, because we felt a draw where, just like the Homesteading for the Kingdom name change, we felt a draw where we know that the homesteading world and the evangelical world are starting to majorly collide, and we want to create a place for that. So on the Friday night of this year's revival event, we have my friend Stephen Burke coming, and maybe I'll get him on the podcast one day. But he does not have social media. He felt very drawn years ago to get out of the realm of social media because of the ministry that God has him doing. He travels the world and talks to small groups of people that God leads him to. I mean, I'm talking like this guy has powerful encounters with God. Like, you know, he lives in Texas and God says, go to North Carolina. You're going to meet a woman at this and this gas station. And he goes there and this woman is at this and this gas station and they have this conversation and suddenly there's DNA, you know, spiritual DNA that's happening. And so, you know, we're going to have him come. God gave him a vision. I think it was back in 2008 of what is coming to America. He saw it in detail, an hour plus long vision of what he saw and what God wants to implement before that happens. And homesteads are going to play a major, major role in holding up the structure, the remnant, the people who are needing food and shelter and ministry. And so he's going to break that out for us and talk about what he saw. And, you know, people like to laugh at the people who have bunkers and stuff, but there's actually spiritually inspired people who God has told to build a bunker, set it aside, act like it doesn't exist. There are people who have heard God tell them to dig a well that's unregistered, hire a company to do it in secret, and cover the well and don't touch it until you need it. It doesn't exist. And people have been able to do that. They've been able to find companies that will dig wells for them locally off the time clock and not tell the county about it and cover it up until God says, okay, you need it. And so I think we're starting to see this unfold. Stephen's going to talk about all of this. He's going to talk about what he's experienced, the people that he's encountered, the visions he's had, what God has told him. It all lines up with scripture. We are the Joseph generation. We are the community that carries the Joseph mantle, okay? And I think you're going to understand that more and more. If you've not checked out my Substack, I actually have a Substack post on there called The Joseph Mantle and the Impending Famine. It has a prophetic word in there where I was in prayer and I felt the Lord kind of break up the next 5 to 10 years. The next 3 years are going to be crucial. And then moving past that, the Lord has something else for us. And so really encourage you to check that out if you haven't already. I think it's on my website too. You can go to amyfuel.com or thefuelhomestead.com and check that out. But all of this is a lot, I know, but just these are the conversations we're going to start having on here. And a lot of conversations we are going to bring the Bible into it. Okay. I'm going to give you scripture. I'm going to give you word. I'm going to talk to you about theological things too, but there's so much happening that I feel like I needed to be a voice in this homesteading community the way that I've always been, but in a much broader level. And I didn't want to do that on our HOA podcast because we have a lot of people on there that are not Christian. HOA is still a very neutral and religious context organization, which gives us the opportunity to preach Christ, right, to a lot of people who are not Christian. But we also want to keep it a neutral space, right? We are there to be for homesteaders of America, okay? We're there to talk about homesteading no matter who you are and what you believe, because we believe that that's what our mission is. But I needed a platform to start talking about the things that affect the homesteading world, that affect us biblically, governmentally, and spiritually. And this is the place we're going to do that. And I'm excited about it, okay? All right, guys, thank you for joining me on this issue, this very first issue of the Homesteading for the Kingdom podcast. I'm so glad you joined me. Share it with your friends. Let's start talking about this. Let's get the entire community talking about it. Share it. Talk about it. Talk about it at your dinner table, with your friends groups, with your Bible studies. What are you guys seeing? What is God saying to you about it? And how are you going to prepare your homestead and farm accordingly? And if you're not homesteading and farming, maybe you're just networking with homesteaders and farmers for what is coming, okay? All right, guys, it was great talking with you again. And until next time, happy homesteading.